Jim Paul's journey from Kentucky caddy to Chicago trading titan and his subsequent financial implosion offers a masterclass in market psychology. At 9 years old, Paul got his first taste of wealth caddying at Summit Hills Country Club. Watching members with their Cadillacs and country club lifestyles planted a seed. What mattered wasn't what you did, but how much you got paid doing it. This philosophy guided his unconventional path through college, military service, and eventually to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, where his aggressive style and strategic networking propelled him to the inner circle of market power. By 1980, Paul had it all, handling 25% of daily lumber contracts, serving on the CME's executive committee, and earning hundreds of thousands annually. His success reinforced a dangerous belief. He was special, different, better than others. When the lumber market dried up in 1983, he pivoted to soybean oil spreads, building massive positions that initially paid off spectacularly. One day alone netted him $248,000, vindication of his self-perceived genius. Then the market turned. For months, Paul lost $20,000, $25,000 daily while rationalizing every drop. Sophisticated clients bailed out, but he held on, convinced the world would run out of bean oil and he'd make $10 million. By October, his positions had plummeted and margin calls mounted. In just 75 days, he lost everything: money, exchange membership, job, and self-respect. What went wrong? He'd never actually been a trader, just a well-connected salesman who confused luck with skill. Studying market legends after his collapse, Paul discovered a paradox. These titans succeeded using contradictory approaches. Rogers dismissed technical analysis while Schwartz got rich from it. Templeton championed diversification while Buffett called it a hedge for ignorance. Lynch advocated buying more during downturns while O'Neill warned this was an amateur strategy. Yet they shared one conviction: protecting against losses. "Don't lose money," Rogers. "Learn to take losses," Schwartz. "I'm always thinking about losing money," Jones. "Never lose money," Buffett. "Cut your loss quickly," Baruch. The revelation: success wasn't about having the perfect strategy, it was about controlling losses. These traders thrived with opposing methods because they mastered capital preservation. What distinguishes consistent success from occasional luck isn't picking winners, it's protecting capital when things go wrong. Market losses are objective facts, but people often conflate them with personal failure. While external losses are measurable events everyone would agree upon, internal losses, like self-esteem, are subjective experiences. Markets should be viewed dispassionately, like a manufacturer accepting some defective products. Problems arise when people internalize market losses, transforming objective outcomes into emotional experiences. This stems from confusing facts with opinions. Market positions are simply profitable or unprofitable, not right or wrong. When traders equate losing money with being wrong, they confuse net worth with self-worth. Traders easily exit profitable positions, yet cling to losing ones. Market losses often trigger Kubler-Ross's stages of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Markets are especially treacherous because, unlike finite events like sports games, they're continuous processes without clear endpoints. This allows traders to indefinitely avoid acknowledging losses by believing positions are just not working yet. The distinction between investing, speculating, and gambling lies not in the activity, but in your approach. Markets contain inherent risk, committing present resources to future expectations. Created risk, however, is artificially manufactured, like betting on a sports event that would occur anyway. Your motivation reveals whether you're dealing with inherent or created risk. Are you chasing psychological rewards, being right about predictions, or financial ones, generating returns? Is it profit motive or profit motive? A common error is trying to assign numerical values to market risks. Market events are unique and non-repeatable. They have case probability, not class probability. Like driving a car, you can't calculate exact accident odds, but you can manage exposure through precautions. Several probability-related fallacies become dangerous in markets. Overvaluing low-probability, high-gain scenarios, misinterpreting independent events as connected, expecting failure after success, favoring positive outcomes over equally probable negative ones, and mistaking unusual events for low-probability ones. Emotions in markets aren't inherently problematic, but emotionalism, decision-making based purely on feelings, must be controlled. A psychological crowd forms when aligned sentiments cause independent thinking to fade. This doesn't require physical proximity. Traders can join the crowd mentality even in isolation. Individuals act through reasoning, while crowds operate on emotions and impulses. If market news and price swings regularly drive your decisions, you're part of the crowd. In crowds, people develop a sense of invincible power and lose individual responsibility, leading to uncharacteristic actions. Market contagion spreads emotions rapidly, while constant market immersion can make traders highly suggestible. The illusion model explains crowd psychology, beginning with affirmation, stating a market opinion, moving through repetition and prestige, market validation, and ending in contagion, emotional decision-making. Market participation requires 5 steps: choosing your role, investor or speculator, selecting analysis method, developing rules, establishing controls, and formulating a plan. Your role must remain consistent. Changing time horizons mid-trade typically leads to failure. Many failed investments are actually unsuccessful trades where investors extended timeframes to avoid losses. Trading success depends on implementing components in the correct sequence: stop, entry, then price objective. Determining your exit first ensures you only risk what you can afford to lose. A solid plan helps bypass the 5 stages of internal loss: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance, by converting market activities into discrete events with clear endpoints. With predetermined loss amounts, you can move directly to acceptance rather than cycling through emotional stages. Most market losses occur from lacking or failing to follow a plan. Making decisions after market entry when emotions run high typically leads to poor outcomes. Writing down your plan ensures accountability and objectivity, as demonstrated by Morgan Stanley's success with detailed blue books outlining contingency scenarios despite initial staff resistance. In markets, disciplined consistency is essential. While a plan won't guarantee profits, it enables consistent loss control. Like a poker player who plays only good hands, your plan should keep you in working positions and force exits when they fail. When deviating from your plan, which is inevitable, follow this paradox: do what feels good. Exit positions that make you feel bad immediately. If it feels good, stay with it. Your market success is inversely related to your pain threshold. Failure stems not from lack of knowledge, but from personalizing losses and refusing to acknowledge them, especially after winning streaks. As Bear Stearns CEO Alan Greenberg said, "The definition of a trader is a guy who takes losses." In risk-taking, prioritize controlling downside through objective decisions and stop-loss parameters. Avoid personalizing market outcomes, confusing risk types, and following crowd psychology. The market doesn't care about your hopes or self-image. Success comes not from being always right, but from handling wrong gracefully. The greatest market wisdom isn't about making money, it's about not losing it.